like to hear real quick the dumbest joke ever. Doug Chris is going to be with us in just a second.
Okay.
Somebody on the chat says it's raining cats and dogs. Years ago, I remember I got a box of Good and Plenty, and they used to have jokes on the back.
Yeah.
And it said, when it's raining cats and dogs, make sure you don't step in a poodle. And I was like 8 years old, and at the time I thought, that is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
You loved it, right? Oh, my gosh.
At
really,
the time.
Buddy? At
yeah.
the time.
I was 8 years old, whatever
you're like,
was,
man, you know? This is genius. This is, whoever yeah. came up with that.
Comedy gold right there. Nice enough to join us right now with the Kings on a roll. Destroyed the Wizards last night, of course. Got the Celtics coming into town. Kings legend, Kings assistant coach, the one and only Doug Christie. Doug, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you gentlemen doing?
We're doing great. I wanted to ask you, first off, last night we noticed Kyle and I are doing our show, at the arena. I noticed you were working with Harrison a lot on something. Look, you were guarding him in a certain way. So can we credit you with the big game he had offensively last night?
Not a chance, brother. Not a chance. No, the players put in all the work. I just out there with Leandro, Barbosa, and HB, and we just had fun. You know, he has some things he likes to do, put him in different positions to contest shots and things like that. And sometimes, most times it happens in the game, but credit to him trying to put himself in game-like situations. Now, not the speed, obviously, of the game, but the contest and finding yourself in those type of positions.
Doug Christie joining us. Doug, I'll ask you about the – what's up, baby? I'll ask you about the golf game coming up in a minute. You know I got a bone to pick with you about that. That's coming up. But I know you also work with Domantas Sabonis. Tell me about the offseason work. And he looks even – I mean, what he did last night, it was a man among boys. That was bully ball last night. What about the work you guys have been doing with Domas?
I mean, he's a machine, man. And, you know, I always give the players the credit because they're the ones that have to do the work. They're the ones that have to step between the lines. And credit to him that after the playoffs last season, you know, his only mental focus was to attack the things that he felt were exposed and he wanted to improve and get better at. And that's what he did. I mean, we took a few days off, and we were right back in the gym, totally open to, you know, all the suggestions and different things that I was bringing to him as far as, you know, watching tape and what we see and the things that you need to focus on. And to his credit, he's putting it down on wax, man. So I'm super excited for him, and to be that good and still have parts of your game that you can improve that way just speaks to the type of talent that he is.
You know, Doug, he played so well last year, we forgot sometimes that he was playing with a broken thumb. I mean, is having a right thumb that's healed now, is that just making him that much tougher for teams to guard?
Yeah, you know, like, if you talk to Domas, that's not even the excuse that he would use. He's like, look, I'm out here, I'm playing, like, let's not even talk about that. So for him, the ability to go right, take advantage of all the things that are there, I think is a part of his game that he has worked on, and you're starting to see it more and more. But, yeah, I think sometimes that we can miss the fact that, I'm sorry.
You got the dog there. You got the dog, yeah.
I'm walking my dog, and the Amazon guy was about to say hi, you know what I mean? No, but we can lose track of the fact that the sacrifices that these guys make and playing injured and those type of things are big time, man.
Doug Christie joining us, assistant coach of your Sacramento Kings. Doug, I know you as a player enjoyed the competition of it all, the competing part of it. We got three teams about to come in the building now. With some big names, some boys that have accomplished something. How exciting are you for this next stretch and maybe to learn something about our team here over these next few days?
You know, Kyle, it's an interesting comment and question. I would even go to say that last night might have been more difficult than dealing with these next three opponents. Because I agree with you. These three opponents are big, but how many times do we see really good teams? Do we see championship teams? I played against the Chicago Bulls that won 70 games, and one of those, or 69 games, one of those games was against our lowly Raptors at that time, you know. And you can lose focus. You can not be totally locked in and mentally prepared. I would argue that against those other teams, it's a lot easier to get up and focus, because, you know, if you don't, it's absolutely no question at all that you are going to get smacked. And last night was, I thought, a huge step forward for us, because if you guys remember last season, they came in and we were down at 30 by one point. I'll never forget the pink uniforms. They're on my mind. But those are the games. Like, I agree with you. Like, we're going to learn something about our team. I think we learned something about our team last night. Like, they're locking in at a higher level. And now, yes, you're right, Kyle. These are some big boys coming in. Championship aspirations, how do you lock in? What type of force do you play with? What type of pace do you play with? On the defensive end, how physical are you willing to be? We will see that.
Doug, obviously one of the things that could come into play the next couple of games is the home court advantage. Are the Kings in the process of establishing more of a home court advantage? And if so, what actually goes into that?
Home court is big time. I would even argue to say, not trying to be argumentative with you guys, but the teams that are able to go out on the road and put it down, that's a mindset that everybody doesn't have, because sometimes when you're at home, you know, you'll let your guard down. It's Christmas time, holidays, all those different things. But we have to learn how to take advantage of Golden One Center, because those fans, that environment, even last night, I had to think that Washington was like, what the hell? Because the starting lineups got, and it was turned up in there. So we have to take advantage of that, because every opportunity to have those guys on our side and create an opportunity for us to dictate the pace and the tempo and the environment and get them involved is huge. And I still don't think we've quite learned how to do that. But we are in the process of doing it for sure.
Doug Christie joining us. Doug, when you look at the way the offense is constructed, I look at a guy like Keegan Murray last night, 17 shot attempts. I said there's no reason why he shouldn't get 15 to 18 a night. Does he take that upon himself, or is that built into the offense? Like, you know, for him to look for a shot out there?
Well, I think, and I kind of go to our team, there's many, many ways. Like, you would know that Webb was going to get his shots and Pager was going to get his shots. But then there is nights where Bobby would have 30 or I'd have 30. It's equal opportunity, but as you go up the ladder, there are times, oh, man, so you guys got me talking, man. My dog's trying to go to the bathroom, man.
Too much information, bro. Too much information, baby.
Hey, man, listen, got to be a proper doggy dad, man. But
I guess he didn't like your answer to the last question.
Yeah. No, it's an equal opportunity offense in a lot of ways. But you do have to, put it upon yourself to make sure that you are aggressive in searching for your shot and confident when the shot comes. Because sometimes I know people are like, really, you can lose confidence. But you can lose confidence at this level sometimes where, you know, you're not making shots at the same clip that you want to, or maybe you've missed a couple and you pass up a shot. And those are the things that I think in year two Keegan is learning to understand is, like, I'm going to get my look. But sometimes I need to search for them, and I need to make sure when I come off of the screen, I'm thinking shot. Therefore, I don't get the ball and then try to think shot, because most times when that happens, the read is gone. The opportunity is gone. And I think the other night when we saw him go for 47 or whatever it was, when he was coming, he was thinking shot immediately. And that's just a mindset. But in many ways, it's equal opportunity, because guys are cutting through the lane. We got guys like Domas that can pass the ball. And if you're open, you're going to get it, and you're going to get a bucket.
Doug, last night the starters were all offensively really efficient. And I want to go back to HB. We asked you about HB when we started here. And he had 19 points last night on 11 shots. In your opinion, you know how fans are, they call a station and they tend to, when things aren't going well, HB this, HB that. Do you think fans should appreciate HB more and maybe don't recognize what a good shooter that he is?
Definitely. HB is a consummate professional. there are going to be nights like last night where the ball finds him, the minutes find him. You know, he got a couple cutting through the lane. Like, we were running, I think it was swing backside. And we ran it like 8 times. We never got to the backside part because the front side was so good. You know what I'm saying? And that was him cutting, them switching, and us recognizing. I think we're starting to recognize as a unit a little better those mismatches and those opportunities. And when HB finds himself in those, we have to take advantage of them. So I know it can be frustrating sometimes for fans, but it's a long season, and it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, you know, because if it was a sprint, we would say HB, you know, 33 points in the first game. But then last night you start to see him come around. But I also think that you see our team begin to come around and recognize mismatches and things like that instead of just running the offense. Because normally when you run a play like backside, that's what you're looking for is the backside. And we never even got to it right, because we recognize that there's money to be had on the front side.
Yeah. Doug, you've seen De'Aaron Fox growth and development over the years. First, you know, you were a broadcaster, then you moved to the bench as a coach. Just how much pride are you taking in what you're seeing from De'Aaron Fox, a homegrown guy we drafted, guy we developed, and now he's an all-NBA performer?
Man, I can't really say it enough. Like, you know, I don't work with Luke, works with Foxy, but, you know, I don't say it to him, but, like, watching him and remembering when we got the draft pick, and I was like, you know, in my mind, and if you listen to the radio broadcast, I'm thinking, like, yo, that's the guy. Like, you got the guy who hardest position in the league. He can play defense. Don't worry about the shot. The shot will come. Like, everything that was about him, I was in. And to watch him continue to grow and continue to lead and now be put in positions that are valuable and they mean something in playoff basketball and watch him just succeed, yeah, man, it's super, super satisfying for me. I know it probably is even more for, you know, Luke and him, but super, super excited for them, man. Like, he's playing at a level that I always thought that he could play at and just needed to be put in the position to succeed. Because sometimes that's it. Like, you got the talent, but are you ever put in the position to show and demonstrate? And he has definitely been put in the position, and he is definitely demonstrating.
Catching up, of course, with Doug Christie here at Drive Guys. The numbers say, Doug, and I know they came down defensively a little bit last night, but the numbers say the Kings' defense has been improving. You obviously were an excellent defender. What, in your view, has been the difference this year defensively?
I think a year together and bringing back a lot of the same pieces, I think that we have to give credit to Mike and Jordy from the standpoint that their attention to detail is at a really, really high level. And, like, we still have levels to go when it – just like I was speaking about the offense – we have levels to go on the defense. You know, many times you'll see a guy backing down and we might dig, but we don't go. It's like, yo, man, you got to know right then you got to go. You got to, like, 3 dribbles for an NBA player in the lane is just like, it's a wrap. So we're continuing to evolve and become better. But it's I think, a year together. I think it's attention to detail. I think it's a lot of little things like that. And if we continue to do that, you know, sky is the limit, because we know what the offense is. The defense, taking that to the next step, I think, can help us immensely.
Doug Christie joining us. Doug, I want to switch gears a little bit and just, you know, go back to you as a player and look at, let's say, rivalries, for instance. Like, for me, I understand the Lakers rivalry, and it's always going to be a rivalry. But my blood boils when I see the Warriors fans come into our building. Tell me about the rivalry with the Lakers, and will that always be your top rival, you know, no matter what? Even 20 years from now, you're still going to hate that purple and gold.
Yeah, in many ways, as a player, I think now as a coach, that changes. Every time I see the Lakers, though, I still get my own feelings. But as a player now, you know, I mean, when I played – I didn't see no Warriors fans around. You know, obviously now it's Chick and they are out there, and you got to give them their respect because that is a hell of a team. They've put together a hell of a run. We pushed them to the limit and they answered. And I think that that's where respect is due. But I hope for our players, our fans, that they take that personally because that's how we improve or we push them to improve. And last year we pushed them to improve. But we also took something from that at the same time. And I think that's what you're speaking to is that's what happens in rivalries. It creates opportunities and situations. And inside those opportunities and situations, it's a chance for our team to be great. And we're just hoping to get back there again and face a team like the Warriors. If we face the Lakers, because you know what I always say, Kyle, Lakers wins count for five. So that must mean Golden State wins must count for about the same. You know what I mean?
Doug, would you be willing to tell us, at first I thought this is obvious, but I realized you played against so many great players. Would you be willing to share with us who the toughest player to guard for you was when you were playing?
That's Michael Jordan, no doubt. Okay. I mean, I would say that Allen Iverson is in there. Kobe is obviously in there. But sure. Mike was a different type of – I think the farther we get away from history, I think it revises itself. And we you know, in the social media era, like if Mike was in the social media era, I think everybody would understand things a little different. But he was a different type of competitor. And then when you put the – because most guys, like, very competitive, but they ain't got the game. Like, he had the game on both ends of the court. Like, you know, he can shoot the ball, big hand, so he could control it at a high level. Defensively, like, he wasn't about those games, so he was coming back at you on the other end of the floor. Then, like, he didn't have social media, so he, like, got the PR people to get newspapers just to check and see if anybody was saying anything stupid the next time he saw him. The next time he saw him, like, he was dealing with it. And I always, like, whenever I get this question, I talk about the fact that Mike never, like, cried to the referees like we see. Like, he would deal with it. And that's what I came to respect the most. Like, we were battling, and it was, like, elbows and a lot of stuff. But never did he, like, go and it's like, ref, what? He would maybe run over to the ref or walk over to the ref, and he would put his jersey up in front of his face, and he would say some things just so that he's not showing them up. But it wasn't like that. He was like more of, I'm going to take it into my own hands, and I'm going to deal with it myself. And that's just another level, you know?
Yeah, he wasn't begging for calls out there. He was a notorious trash talker. Did he ever talk to you, or did you just keep it silent and keep it focused on trying to do your job?
Yeah, we never got into that, man. Like I said, the year that we beat them when they won 70, you know, after the game, my daughter, what year was that, guys? 96?
96, like, I think, yeah.
Yeah, she was like 6 years old. So after the game, she was like, you know, Dad, can you go get Mike's autograph? And I'm like, girl, we just was out there beating each other to death. But when I you know, because that's my baby, so I did it. And when I went over there, like, he was totally cool. Like, come on in, man. You know, great game, blah, blah, blah. I was blown away. I had a different perspective. Like, I didn't do that for anybody. But, you know, Mike is Mike. So my daughter wanted it, so I went over there to do it. But, yeah, he was different, man. And like I said, as the farther we get away from that we kind of lose perspective a little bit.
Doug, you obviously were a very high pick. So Keon Ellis took a more winding path to the league than you. But does he in any way, what he does defensively, well, how important is it to the team? And does he in any way remind you of you with some of the things he does on the defensive end?
You know, I would say, like, his instincts are really high level. His hands are in anticipation are spectacular. And what I get out of Keon is, like, he doesn't cry. You know, he might look at the ref like, man, I didn't foul him, but, you know, that's a little different. But his approach to the game, his calmness in the face of adversity and things like that is really, like, very, very impressive. And it's really nice to watch a player like him continue to grow, because again, a player that we drafted, a player that went to the G League, a player that's worked on his game constantly, and now all of a sudden opportunity presents itself and he's prepared for that opportunity and taking full advantage of that opportunity. Like, that is big, man. But, and you can imagine, like, there's playing in the G League, you guys, and improving, but there's playing in the NBA against starters and all those things, and you improve exponentially with the talent when it goes up. And watching him do those things is big time, because his anticipation, hands, all that is NBA level.
Doug Christie, join us. Doug, you've obviously, as a player, had a number of coaches, worked under a number of coaches as an assistant as well. What would you say is something that Mike Brown does that, you know, you can see impacts the team in a positive way? What are some of the things you're taking from Mike?
You know, his accountability and attention to detail. Like, his attention to detail is really high level. I mean, like, I had a eye as a player, which is a total different eye. Like, no one can get that eye, because you got to be between the lines. Then there's an eye as a broadcaster, which, you know, kind of everyone has that because you're watching the game, right? And then there's an eye as a coach. And my eye as a coach continues to develop, but I think it's developed the most under Mike, because it's like, what are you looking at? What are you watching? Those type of things. And when he stops, or his focus and his notes and those type of things have been, you know, next level. It helps me to improve. Like, I know it from a player standpoint on a really high level. And, you know, with the exception of Leandro, nobody else played that we have on our staff. So that's one way. Then obviously, you know, being a broadcaster, but in the coaching realm and watching it with, you know, really, really smart players. Like, the players are next level when it comes to smartness. They get it. They see it because they're out there, and watching him deal with them and stop the film or blow the whistle. And what he was looking at was totally different than what everybody else was looking at. Like, that for me has been like a big one. I've just been like super, super impressed and super appreciative that I was kept on to be able to learn from a guy like Mike.
Who are some of the coaches you had as a player that are most influential on Doug Christie, the coach?
That's a good one, because they were influential on me as a player. I would say, you know, Pat Riley was probably big. He's very, you know, attention to detail, but like, even when I speak in front of the team, I kind of, you know, he's more of a storyteller, so I take a little bit of that with me, whereas other guys will just deliver what's there to deliver. He would, because he knows, he played, like, you'll lose your focus while you're sitting there if you're just blabbering on some numbers. So, and then I think Coachy, Pete Carrill is probably, for me, the biggest one as a player and as a coach, just like relaying to the players in a way that is human, as opposed to, you know, I'm dictating to you. There's a point in there where I always try to ask them as opposed to tell them, because they see it, like I say, in a way that nobody, unless you play, nobody else can even understand what you're talking about. They see it that way. We can watch film, we can stop film, we can say these things, but, you know, film is now, it's micro. Like, you can cut it up in really small pieces, but when you're out there, it's totally not that.
Right.
So to listen to the players and ask the players, I think, is a big one. And Coach, he did that a lot with me. He would talk to me and ask me questions that I think now I try to do that with the players that I deal with.
Doug, last one for me, man, and I'm going to switch gears. And you know I'm going to call you out on your golf game. I don't know if people understand. When Doug was a broadcaster, we used to golf like once a week. We used to always be out there. Now he's a big-time coach and everything. What, once a year maybe, Doug? Where's your golf game at, bro?
Man, my golf game is some trash, bro. listen, I've golfed like, I don't know, maybe three times in 2 years, man. Like, you're right. I used to go the day that I got the call to coach, I was on my way to hit balls and get new clubs from Tom Morton. I still have the clubs. They barely got any marks on them. but, you know, I want to, like I always say, man, I'm here for a reason, man. And until it happens, maybe, you know, after we win that, I go on a golf vacation. And then I'll be able to hit some balls. But until then, yeah, I'm some trash.
So I can get you right now. I can get you probably right now. I might be able to get him now.
That's still not a thing. That's still not a thing.
Doug Christie, thank you so much for your time. We know you're very busy. We appreciate it. Best of luck here in the upcoming stretch. We'll talk to you soon.
All love, man. Go King.
All right, Doug. Peace out.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, those are his clubs right there. There's golf clubs in here.
Oh,
There's a little practice green. And the story, what I've been told is that those are Doug's, and he used to, during commercial breaks, he would, you know, putt here and
work
chip
on
here,
some putting
and
those chipping.
Those are his clubs. Yeah.
I'm going to have to start doing that because Doug, when he was golfing, he's pretty good. He used to kick my butt all the time, and it would be frustrating because I would get lessons. I'd go see my guy Tom, and I just wasn't getting better. And he just rolls up, you know, a former athlete, cranking it 300 yards. And I'm like, so I might have to work on my short game in the studio here. I might have to do that.
He doesn't think you got a shot at him, though.
No, because he hits him, Bobby Jackson, those guys hit it a mile. You know, I hit my driver 240. They're hitting it 290. They're playing from the tips. I'm playing from the reds, you know, the whites, something like that. It's a different ball game they play, man.
All right, when we come right back to wrap things up here, can you guess which NFL team is increasing ticket prices next year by as much as 85%?
Whoa.
The answer's next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown. Kyle Draper, give us your takeaways of our conversation with Doug Christie, Kings legend and assistant coach.
His golf game is trash. That was my, you know, that's the one thing. No, but anytime he talks about Michael Jordan or some of the greats, even those great Sacramento Kings teams he played on, I could listen to that all day. That's my wheelhouse. That gets me excited, you know, and I tell, you know, Mike Bibby when I work with him, I tell Kenny Thomas when I used to work with him, anytime you can talk about the greats and your interactions with them, that's something nobody else has. I can't have that, Deuce, Morgan. Nobody else has that. So, you know, with Mike Bibby, anytime he could talk about playing with Chris Webber or Kenny Thomas, anytime he could talk about playing with Olajuwon and Barkley and all them, like, that's the stuff I love, man. I'm excited. And we got Cedric Maxwell coming on tomorrow, Cornbread. And so, you know, he's going to talk about Larry Bird. He's going to talk about Magic, you know, all the players that he grew up playing against. And I can't wait for that tomorrow.
He's also going to talk about Beno Udrih because he used to, years ago, he'd come on with us and he always made fun of poor Beno for some reason. So, looking forward to that. I thought it was interesting that Doug Christie, I asked him about home court. He didn't say, we're coming along on that. He said, no, it's really important that we establish that.
Yeah.
He didn't say we are establishing it. He said, we need to do that.
And the way they've been playing and their record leads me to believe it's something that was a priority this season. Like, when you look at last season, as great as it was, to have a better road record than home record, that shouldn't happen. And you look at a Denver or any of the best teams, even look at Boston, who we'll see tomorrow. They're elite at home. And that's where Sacramento has to get it. You know, you got 41 home games. You go 30 and 11. I mean, then you go 20 and 21 the rest of the way. You got 50 wins, you know? And so the opportunity is there for the Kings. And I love the fact that they're taking advantage of it this season.
So appreciate Doug Christie being with us. And we'll be at the arena tomorrow. Looking forward to that.
This Celtics
has been quite
night.
A homestand. It's very special for you, right?
You're rooting for Drapes. Put you're it on the table right now.
I'm rooting for the Kings.
Okay. I'm just checking.
You being a Celtics fan is a big night for
it. Those are my guys, Tatum Brown. I was there when they came in, but come on, man. I bleed purple. The fans in Sacramento know Drapes is all about the Kings. It's not even a question. I mean, I told you the story, Jay, and I'll tell it again real quick here, Whitey. First time I was on the play-by-play, we went back to Boston. I'm excited, and I'll bring this story up tomorrow with Cornbread Maxwell. I'm walking in the TD Garden. I'm feeling good. I see Max. I'm like, we're going to kick your butt. I use some colorful language. My chest is sticking out. Man, we lost by 53 that game. We got down by 60 at one point. I walked out of there with my tail between my legs. But trust me, tomorrow I'm going to walk in the Golden 1 Center. Chest pumped out, ready for my boys to put in work. So,
are they the best team in the East?
They're team in the league. Boston, yes. Boston is elite. But like I said on the podcast, they are one injury away And I'm not saying from Tatum or Brown. Like, if Porzingis isn't healthy in the playoffs, they're not going to win. They don't have the depth at the big man spot. They got our old friend Nemias Keita, who's actually getting minutes for them.
Yeah.
So we'll see him tomorrow. But they don't have the depth that they've had in past. They're very top heavy. They're top five, top six, best in the league easily. But if you can get into that 8, 9, 10 range, get into some of those guys, you got a chance.
I know nobody cares. It's water under the bridge, and we're not talking about the Celtics, but I still can't believe they lost to Miami last year.
That should not have happened.
It's like,
they were clearly the better team.
And that was a stunner.
That was a stunner, and it's fueled them this year. But like I said on the podcast earlier, the Celtics aren't going to be judged in the regular season. I don't care if they go 70-12. Like, it doesn't matter. They're at a point, sort of like the Niners to an extent, it's championship or bust. Anything short of that is a disappointment.
How do you feel about that 73-win Warrior season? Because I know Bob Myers, and I understand, it's like, hey, we had a great season. I have always felt just like, I'm sorry, you didn't finish. That's tremendous, but it doesn't mean as much that you set the record when you weren't able to seal the deal.
Right. Can you call that the greatest team ever?
No,
because you didn't win the championship.
Right,
like, greatest regular season team, okay. But the Bulls in 70, the Celtics in 86, you know, the Lakers in 87, you know, those were great teams that finished it out, accomplished the job.
Yeah.
And so with the Warriors, honestly, if I look back on it, I could argue that if that Warriors team played right now, they wouldn't be a 73-win team. Because I felt like they were so far ahead of everybody else in the style they played that they were great, you know? And Klay was great. Steph was great, obviously. I could argue the two teams with Kevin Durant were even better than that. So I don't think that's, an all-time, like, the all-time greatest team.
No, but that would have been – no, who knows if they win that. Maybe Durant doesn't go there and everything's different. But anyway, let's see here. You want to take a crack at this.
Uh-oh.
This team – for years and years, they haven't been able to sell tickets, NFL team. But now, according to a newspaper report, most seats getting a hefty price increase for next year. The average increase is 36%. Some fans say that some tickets will go up next year for this team as much as 85%. Who do you think?
They haven't been good historically, right?
No, they have the league's biggest jump in attendance for this year.
It has to be somebody that turned it around this year that, is in contention.
Yeah.
Can I guess real quick?
Yeah, sure.
I got two, so I'll go one and then I'll let Drake jump in there. I was going to say Texans first.
Texans.
That's a good guess.
Texans is not correct.
That's a good guess.
Fine guess, not correct.
I'm going to say and somebody, McToads, in the chat. He's listing like 8 teams on here on YouTube. He's got Raiders, Lions.
Got a division.
I know.
Only he's like, one. Yeah. Only guess
I'm
one.
I'm going Lions. I'm going Lions.
That is correct.
Oh.
Yeah.
Out of their mind.
Up to 85%.
85%.
The team says it's an average ticket increase of 30%, which is still pretty big. But they expect to sell all their seats next year.
That's not surprising, right?
No, I guess
get
not.
It. They're capitalizing.
Yeah.
I
remember the first game this year when they played, they opened Thursday night against the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Yeah.
There were a ton of Lions fans.
Yeah.
There. Like, what's going on?
Well, they finished strong last year. They made a push towards the end of last season. And so they came into this year high hopes. And I get it. It's sort of like, when the Warriors go from Oakland to San Francisco or Steph Curry come, like, you price out people. And so did you hear about the Carolina Panthers? Did you see that story about their ticket prices, like the get-in cost for a game?
I just saw a picture
like
of the
45
stadium.
45 cents?
Nobody's there.
Like a ticket was going for like 45 cents or something like
really?
That.
Really? I thought you were kidding.
That's
okay.
Not, seriously. Come on, man. 45 cents?
But the fee's going to push it up to 50 bucks.
Dude, don't get me started on the fees, bro. Can we have a conversation about the fees? Real quick. Oh, see, my mom and dad, they might be listening right now, but mom's been begging for tickets for when the Kings come.
Sure.
Usually I just go through the team, but she wants good seats.
Watch what you say about your mom, because I follow her on Twitter.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sure you see all this on Twitter. But she wants good seats. So I'm like, all right, Christmas coming up. Let me take a look. I think I paid like $140 in fees.
Oof, so you almost for paid two tickets. A Brock Purdy jersey in fees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's there's no way that fees should be that much. Joe Biden, Congress, somebody. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm telling you, man.
Do you know what any of it was supposed to be? Is it handling or?
You can
just fees,
convenience
huh?
fee.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the thing that
service
bothers
charge.
Me the most, guys, this is the thing that bothers me the most. All this is electronic. Like, what fees right. are you incurring?
No paper tickets.
There's no paper tickets. What supplies do you need? Like, this is all technology.
Right. Somebody's
like,
just got to press a button.
Right, yeah. Exactly. It is the biggest scam going on in America right now. Whether it's concert fees, sporting fees, and don't get me started on car rental fees. Did I tell
man.
You this story, Jay?
No, what happened?
Dog, I went to Boston.
What?
This is a couple years ago. In certain cities, obviously, they put a car rental fee, you know, a tax. You
You're
know,
looking
that's
at
how
you,
built.
Seattle, last time I was
yeah.
there last year.
Bro, I rented a car. It was $130 for 36 hours. With the fees and everything, it was $300. I was like, hold on. I'm in Boston for like 28 hours, and I got to pay for 2 days? $300? So I always say, don't rent. If you can't, don't rent from the airport locations. That's where they get you. All them tourism fees and everything. Go to an offsite location.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, it's killing me, man. That's my pet peeve in life. I hate that. You see, as much as I get upset about Brock Purdy, that's a little bit of a fake outrage. The fees, though, that's legit.
Real.
That's
you
real.
Can feel it.
That's
feeling
real.
The heat.
I'm
yeah.
a, man.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow out at the Golden One Center.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cedric Maxwell, I texted my guy Brian Scalabrine to see if he's going to be on site, but this is a big game.
Uh-huh.
If they win this game.
I'm assuming he didn't answer.
No, he didn't answer. Him and Dante Whitner must got new phone numbers.
Or something. You got Whitnered by Scal.
Dude, he better answer me back, man. So, yeah, we are at the a building tomorrow. Yes.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you very much for listening. And stick around because UC Davis basketball is next right here on Sactown Sports.